Well, turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 57. This is a Psalm of David. And the historical background to this particular psalm is the occasion where David hid in the cave from Saul. You'll remember Saul was chasing him to find him, to kill him, and to attack him. And David and his army heard that Saul and his army were coming, and they went to hide in a cave. And then that's found in 1 Samuel 24. And when they went to hide in the cave, they were right at the back of the cave, and God allowed Saul to come into that cave because he needed to go to the toilet. And he was in the cave to have some privacy. Little did he know that David was there at the back of the cave. And David's men told David, "Why don't you go and kill him? Because God has given him into your hands. Here he is, right here, literally with his pants down and not able to kind of defend himself." And David said, "No, this is the Lord's anointed, and God will deal with him in a particular way." And then he goes out and goes back down the valley to meet with his army. And David comes out the cave and says to him, "You know, I had a chance to kill you, but I didn't." And then Saul leaves him and goes back to his place. So this is the psalm that comes out of that particular situation. "For the director of music to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a miktam, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cried out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me." And then this little word, Selah, which means just pause and think about what I've just said. God sent his love and his faithfulness. I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, and they have themselves fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing to you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that even as all of us face difficult situations like David faced in this particular situation, Lord, thank you that we can turn to you. Thank you that we can be reminded that you are the God who's always there, who's caring for us, who's supporting us, who knows what we need. And we give you all the praise for that. We just commit our time now, Lord, to you. Receive your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, The Secret to Facing Your Fears. The secret to facing your fears. The reality, friends, is we all face situations a little bit like David did. Maybe our situations are not particularly life-threatening, but the reality is at some point in our lives, we're going to be facing difficult situations, aren't we? There's not one of us who haven't had that particular situation, and if you haven't had it, you will have it. Part of the nature and the course of life. As we look at this passage, I want to remind you just of a few simple things this morning. Not a great long sermon. We've had a very busy week and I haven't had a lot of time for preparation this last week. But just to remind you of these wonderful truths. First of all, this passage reminds us of two undeniable facts, friends. And the first undeniable fact is this, that we will all face difficulty. Not one of us are going to be without facing difficulty at some point in time. For David, it was a real difficulty. David, all through his life, faced difficulty. And some of the greatest difficulty we face, friends, will not necessarily be situations, although we will face those. But we will be facing people who make our lives difficult. That's what David reminds us of that. In verse 4, look what he says. I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Oh boy, there can be nothing worse than that, isn't it? People, friends, don't have to come against you with weapons. They just need to come against you with their tongues. That's what he's talking about here. Whose tongues are sharp swords. We know just how dangerous words can be. Psychologists tell us, if you say one negative thing to your child, you need to say seven positive things to cancel out that one negative thing. Isn't that dangerous? Isn't that incredible? And how many of us, friends, have faced the wrath of people's tongues over the years, where people say something? The sad reality is, I think we all know that once a word is out, you can't take it back again, can you? Friends, David faced those continuously. And I wonder how many even today. Even in verse 6, we're reminded, it says, they spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit for my path. But praise the Lord, as he carries on, they themselves have fallen into it. But the reality, friends, is that we all face very difficult situations. Calamities in our lives, financial ruin, perhaps it's illness, perhaps it's death. Things come in very unpredicted ways. Patricia, as she was traveling home after one of the holiday programs, was driving up and wanting to turn into our yard, into our garden. And as she was about to turn into the garden, there was a guy flying up the hill there, and he wanted to overtake her on a solid white line there. You know where we live? It's a solid white line there. And Patricia, both of us know now, we put our indicators on long before we get to our driveway, because we know that people are rushing up behind us. And literally, she just heard the screeching of brakes. Fortunately, the man missed her and was able to stop, but just in time. Friends, those situations can happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye. Even this last week, we were driving yesterday down to Port Elizabeth for a meeting Patricia had to have, and we were listening to two people who were stabbed in a shebeen somewhere. But I said to Patricia, they didn't report the fact that earlier yesterday, 18 people were killed in an accident on the N3. A taxi hit two trucks. Friends, in a blink of an eye, we can face calamity. That's the reality. Trouble faces us all. I don't know where you are in your life at the moment. Perhaps you're going through a difficult time. Perhaps, you know, you're grappling with something. You just kind of can't understand. Lord, why is this happening? Why has this happened to me? But friends, the other undeniable truth in this particular storm is that while trouble faces us, friends, God's faithful presence will always go with us. That's the great encouragement of David in the psalm. David, you can just imagine, he had 300 or 400 people with him. I don't know if you know how difficult it is to keep 300 or 400 people quiet. Wouldn't be very easy, would it? And there were 300 or 400 of them hidden at the back of this cave along with David. And they were having to keep quiet enough, because you know when you're in a cave, friends, and you talk, things echo, don't they? Somebody just needed to knock two swords together, or a piece of their armor, or just whisper, and Saul would have heard what was happening. Well, we know that one of them at least spoke to David. I wonder what David felt that little whisper in his ear must have felt like. It must have felt like a roar in his ear as they were telling David, David, go and kill him. God has given him into your hands. But friends, in the midst of that, David could so confidently say, God is with me. Look what he says in verse 3. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. What a great encouragement this was for David. Even as he faced the person who was wanting to kill him, not just hurt him, don't forget about that, friends. The very person who was wanting to kill him was right there. And yet David could wait patiently because he knew God was everywhere. Look what he says in verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. It's not that he was asking God to send his glory all over the earth. He already knew God's glory was all over the earth. That's what, friends, gave him the strength he needed at that point in time. In spite of the difficulty he was facing, in spite of the one undeniable fact that we will all face difficulty, friends, he was encouraged by the other undeniable fact, friends, that God is always there. Now we may not feel that, but we must never forget that. But having established those two undeniable facts, we can react in two different ways, friends. There are two contrasting emotions that invite us every time we're faced difficult situations. The first one is fear. Look how David starts out. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. Verse 2. I cry out to the God Most High. David, friends, begins in the place where so often all of us begin, the place of fear. David, friends, is full of fear. He's hiding like a coward at the back of a cave, afraid of what Saul might do with him. As he begins to recognize the danger, friends, and we must also understand that when we're faced with difficulty and our initial reaction is like David's, we mustn't be too hard on ourselves. The reality is we are emotional people. God has given those emotions. It's in fact a very good thing, because the emotion of the fight or flight syndrome is what we need as people. If we are suddenly attacked, friends, we need emotion to be able to initially protect ourselves. And David has that. David has that wonderful natural reaction to fear. Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I don't like what's happening to me. Have mercy on me. I cry out to you, Lord, because I don't feel capable of dealing with this. But then, friends, he moves on from that. And here is the secret to facing our fears. The secret to facing our fears, friends, is moving beyond the fear into faith. Because that's what David does in this process. Verse 1, even although he starts out with, have mercy on me, God, he immediately goes to, I will. I will take refuge in me. And verse 9, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Friends, the secret to our fears is moving beyond our fear into faith. That's the secret. The secret to dealing with whatever God may, or whatever may come our way, friends, even if it is God who's sending it our ways, is to put our trust fully in Him. And when we do that, we move into the third thing of two lasting responses. How do we react after that? Well, first of all, friends, there's internal peace. When we live in faith, friends, we don't need to be afraid. Look what David says. My heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. And verse 8. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. Really, what David is saying is, because I have faith, I can sleep peacefully. Really, that's what he's saying. I don't need to fear anything, because, friend, with God at our side, with God there to protect us, with God there with us, like David experienced at this particular point in time, friends, we don't need to be afraid. David could confidently say, God is with me. But he moves from just internal peace to external praise. Friends, that's his next reaction. It's no use only living for yourself and living with peace in your heart. You need to share that message with the world around you, friends. God has done a great thing. And so a lot of the psalm is about giving praise to God. God is with me. God will strengthen me. Look what he says in verse 9. I will praise you, O God, among the nations. I will sing to you above the peoples. Great is your love reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaching to the skies. Be exalted, O God, among the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. We're going to sing a chorus at the close of our service to remind us, friends, that as we respond to God, we can do that in praise. Now, forget about David for a moment. Because we Christians, we need to look to Jesus, don't we? Jesus is our ultimate example. That's why I want to do communion at the end of the service this morning. Because, friends, as we think of Jesus, David is merely a foreshadowing of who Jesus is. If David faced enemies, Christ faced a multitude more. The book of Hebrews tells us that he was tempted in every single way that we as human beings are tempted. Yet praise the Lord without sin. David also, friends, had a moment in the garden where a little bit like, Jesus also had a moment in the garden where a little bit like David, he was afraid. He was afraid of what was about to face him. He was so afraid, friends, the Bible tells us that there were sweat drops of blood that came out of him. I don't know if you've ever been that afraid. And yet, friends, he cried out, "My God, if it is possible, take this from me. Take this cup from me." Friend, have you ever been that afraid? Have you ever begged God to take what you are facing away from you? Yet, the secret to Jesus' heart, friends, was the same as David's. Because he moved from fear to faith. What did he say in the end? "Not my will, but thine be done." That's faith, friends. That is faith where you don't understand. You don't understand what's happening. You don't fully comprehend the implications of what you may be going to face, but you can say, not my will, but thine be done. I read a little letter that somebody wrote as if it were God writing it to us. A little memo from God to us. I want to read it to you today. It says this, I'm God. Today I'm going to handle all of your problems. Please remember that I don't need your help. If life happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, don't be tempted to resolve it yourself. Just put it in the SFGT box. What's the SFTG box? It's the something for God to do box. We all need a box like that, don't we? God said, I'll address it in my time, not yours. Once the matter is put in that box, don't hold on to it. If you find yourself stuck in traffic, don't despair. There are people in this world for whom driving is an unheard of privilege. Should you have a bad day at work, think of the person who hasn't had work for years. Should you be despairing about a relationship gone bad, think about the person who's never known what it's been to be like in love or to be loved in return. Should you be grieving the passing of another, think of the woman in dire straits, working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed her children. Should your car break down, leaving you kilometers away from assistance, think of the paraplegic who would love to have the opportunity to walk. Should you notice a few grey hairs in the mirror, think of the cancer patient who's having chemo and just wishes he had hair to examine. Should you find yourself at a loss and pondering what life is all about, asking yourself what's my purpose, be thankful. There are those who didn't live long enough to get an opportunity. Should you find yourself the victim of another person's bitterness, ignorance, smallness, and insecurity, remember, things could be worse. You could be one of them. Friend, are you ready to hand over to God? Are you ready, like Jesus, to say, not my will, but thine be done?